With What's News, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. Former Trump lawyer and so-called fixer Michael Cohen testified about alleged criminal behavior by Donald Trump when he was a presidential candidate. We'll hear excerpts of his testimony and talk about it with The Wall Street Journal's Shelby Holliday. First, here's a brief look at some headlines. We continue to watch the summit taking place in Vietnam between President Trump and North Korean President Kim Jong-un. The Journal says the two leaders' meetings here present a serious test of their ability to make tangible headway toward curbing Pyongyang's nuclear programs after their first meeting last year in Singapore yielded plenty of bonhomie, but little concrete progress. The U.S. challenge now in Hanoi is to see if the warm embrace between Trump and Kim can be matched by diplomatic progress to curtail or freeze, if not eliminate, the North's nuclear capabilities. For Pyongyang, the goal would be to achieve major sanctions relief. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said Wednesday the central bank is close to announcing plans for ending the runoff of its $4 trillion portfolio of bonds and other assets this year. Mr. Powell spoke during a second day of congressional testimony. On Tuesday, Mr. Powell said the Fed is in no rush to make a judgment about how to change interest rates. At both hearings, Mr. Powell described the U.S. economic outlook as favorable, but he also pointed to headwinds from abroad. These include slower growth in China and Europe, political uncertainty over trade negotiations between Washington and Beijing, and the discussions surrounding the U.K.'s decision to leave the European Union. A North Carolina political operative who worked for former Republican congressional candidate Mark Harris was arrested in the state Wednesday after his indictment over absentee ballot irregularities in 2016 and 2018 elections. Leslie McCrae Dallas Jr. was charged with three counts of obstruction of justice, two counts of conspiracy to commit obstruction of justice, and two counts of possession of an absentee ballot. Mr. Dallas was a contractor for Mr. Harris's campaign during his run for the Charlotte-based 9th Congressional District seat last year. Mr. Harris announced Tuesday he wouldn't run in a redo election less than a week after the State Board of Elections called for a new vote in light of evidence of ballot tampering. Still ahead, Wednesday's House testimony by former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, the former personal lawyer to Donald Trump, testified in front of the House Oversight Committee Wednesday. Mr. Cohen, for the first time, publicly accused President Trump of engaging in criminal conduct while in office related to hush money payments. Here's part of Mr. Cohen's opening statement.
Never in a million years did I imagine, when I accepted a job in 2007 to work for Donald Trump, that he would one day run for the presidency, to launch a campaign on a platform of hate and intolerance, and actively win. I regret the day I said yes to Mr. Trump. I regret all the help and support I gave him along the way. I am ashamed of my own failings and publicly accepted responsibility for them by pleading guilty in the Southern District of New York. I am ashamed of my weakness and my misplaced loyalty, of the things I did for Mr. Trump in an effort to protect and promote him. I am ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist, he is a con man, and he is a cheat.
Also in his statement, Mr. Cohen said that Mr. Trump knew in advance about the release of emails by WikiLeaks aimed at hurting Hillary Clinton, his 2016 Democratic presidential rival.
A lot of people have asked me about whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of the hacked documents, the Democratic National Committee emails, ahead of time. And the answer is yes. As I earlier stated, Mr. Trump knew from Roger Stone in advance about the WikiLeaks drop of emails. In July of 2016, days before the Democratic convention, I was in Mr. Trump's office when his secretary announced that Roger Stone was on the phone. Mr. Trump put Mr. Stone on the speakerphone. Mr. Stone told Mr. Trump that he had just gotten off the phone with Julian Assange, and that Mr. Assange told Mr. Stone that within a couple of days, there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Trump responded by stating to the effect Wouldn't that be great?
Mr. Cohen referring to recently indicted former Trump confidant Roger Stone. Mr. Cohen also testified in detail about his discussions with Mr. Trump and Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg as they considered making a $130,000 payment to former adult film star Stephanie Clifford in October 2016. He also showed the committee checks he received in 2017 signed by Mr. Trump, Mr. Weisselberg, and Donald Trump Jr., the president's son, that Mr. Cohen said were part of monthly installments he received as reimbursement for the Clifford payment. The hearing was a display of raw political partisanship. Republicans on the committee sought to portray the former Trump lawyer as a man scorned and a liar, noting that he'd pleaded guilty to crimes beyond the hush money payments, including multiple-year tax fraud and lying to Congress. House Oversight Ranking Committee member Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, had this exchange with Mr. Cohen.
Here's what I see. I see a guy worked for 10 years and is here trashing the guy he worked for 10 years, didn't get a job in the White House, and now you're behaving just like everyone else who's got fired or didn't get the job they wanted, like Andy McCabe, like James Comey, same kind of selfish motivation after you don't get the thing you want. That's what I see here today, and I think that's what the American people...
Mr. Jordan, all I wanted was what I got, to be personal attorney to the president, to enjoy the senior year of my son in high school and waiting for my daughter who's graduating from college to come back to New York. I got exactly what I want.
With us is Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday. Shelby, as mentioned, Michael Cohen was under constant attack by House Oversight Committee GOP members. We just heard an excerpt. It was like 100 times that. He was under attack pretty much all day, and as we speak, probably still is. You know, they basically made no attempt to defend the president, but, you know, branded Mr. Cohen as a man who lied to get a reduced sentence. Wouldn't you say that's right?
Yeah, they spent a lot of time attacking Mr. Cohen and saying that he was a liar. One of the congressmen said he was a fake witness. They spent a great deal of time talking about how he can't be believed and how he shouldn't be on the Hill, and this was all just a big charade. However, the Democrats continued to question him about topics they thought were very relevant to their oversight responsibilities, including the Trump Tower Moscow deal, the hush money payments, WikiLeaks conversations, and a number of topics you just played.
Mr. Cohen also said the president directed negotiations for this real estate project in Moscow during the White House race, you know, even as he publicly said that he had no business interests in Russia. But Cohen didn't accuse Mr. Trump of colluding with Russia to influence the outcome of the election.
That's right. He said he had his suspicions, but he didn't have evidence and he didn't come forward with any sort of proof that the president colluded with Russia. There were a few things that were interesting about that Trump Tower Moscow deal. He did say that President Trump directed his negotiations during the campaign. He also said he discussed a potential trip by President Trump to Russia with Corey Lewandowski, who was President Trump's former campaign manager. And we know that Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to lying to Congress about Trump Tower Moscow. And so what was interesting is he said that he had had a conversation with President Trump and his attorney, Jay Sekulow, before he testified to Congress, and that conversation influenced his testimony. He said President Trump didn't direct him to lie. He said that's not how President Trump operates, but that President Trump influenced him by saying, Michael, there's no collusion, there were no deals. And Michael said, if you work for President Trump, you know what that means. You know what you're supposed to say.
And one of the charges that Mr. Cohen pleaded guilty to was the exact timing, I guess, of when these talks about the proposed Trump Tower ended. I believe Cohen said that they ended a lot earlier than they actually did. They ended in January 2016, according to him, when in actuality they ended during the campaign months later.
Right. They actually ended, according to the special counsel and Michael Cohen, they ended in June of 2016. And that's when President Trump knew he was the nominee. He had the votes and he was going to the convention as the presumptive nominee. So that makes it significant because that means he would have continued to negotiate this deal and even talk about traveling to Moscow and meeting Vladimir Putin while he was going to be a possible president of the United States.
As I mentioned before, Mr. Cohen was basically hammered all day long by the Republicans. One theme that seemed to be running throughout the hearing was that Republicans on the committee frequently referred to crimes that Mr. Cohen had pleaded guilty to that really had nothing to do with Mr. Trump. You know, they tied in on that all day.
Yeah, and Cohen actually tried to turn the tables a few times when the members of Congress would call him a liar or accuse him of wrongdoing. There were a few times where he joked and said, are you talking about me or are you talking about President Trump? And he straight up accused one of the congressmen of playing games and asked him or pointed out that no Republicans had even asked him about President Trump. So he tried to turn the tables a little bit, but Republicans mostly stuck together and continued to hammer Cohen. I don't think any of them broke apart and actually asked him questions about the president's conduct or potential wrongdoing.
A couple of other things. I think one or two GOP members of the House committee asked him about a book deal that he had, and apparently he does.
The book deal came up a lot. The book deal came up by at least four or five congressmen, and they all seem to be wanting to get him on the record saying he won't take a book deal. And they asked him about movie deals and other ways he might profit off of this whole saga. And Michael Cohen said he's not going to commit to anything. He said he's open to a book deal. He said he's open to doing these things. He even asked a congressman, who would you want to play you in a movie if they make a movie? And that was sort of a comical moment. But Republicans seem very concerned maybe that he would profit off a book, but also maybe concerned about what he would actually put in a book and the kind of dirt he could spill on Donald Trump if he is to write a book.
One truly weird moment occurred when I believe Mark Meadows called Lynn Patton. Actually, Lynn Patton was standing right behind Mr. Meadows. You know, he referred to the fact that Mr. Cohen had accused President Trump of being a racist, and he produced Lynn Patton, this Trump employee, I guess, in the Housing and Urban Development Department. It was weird because she basically stood there and said nothing in her defense.
Yeah, a lot of people pointed that out. It was a bit awkward. She was sort of a surprise guest at the hearing, and one of the things Cohen came out swinging with this morning was the fact that he's heard President Trump say racist things, and he called him a racist. Republicans wanted to defend the president. That was their possible line of defense. But then a lot of people in the media seized on that and said, just because of this one woman, it doesn't make anything Michael Cohen is saying false.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Does Mr. Cohen reappear in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday? Is that right?
He appeared before the Senate Intelligence Committee behind closed doors yesterday. Tomorrow, he will appear before the House Intelligence Committee, also behind closed doors.
Now, going forward, Shelby, what does Wednesday's testimony mean for Michael Cohen, and really, what does it mean for the president?
Well, there were a few things we learned from the testimony, not necessarily that would impact Cohen with today's testimony, but Michael Cohen did say he continues to cooperate with the Southern District of New York. He also said he sat for seven meetings with the special counsel, and he is still trying to get a reduction in his jail sentence. He was very open about that. He said, I am hoping to get further reductions because of my cooperation. We don't know if Michael Cohen said anything he wasn't supposed to say because we don't know the specifics about what he was cleared to say. But I think the implications for President Trump are enormous because Michael Cohen not only brought checks and evidence that President Trump knew about these hush money deals and played a role in reimbursing him, but Michael Cohen also said in various situations President Trump influenced his statements, whether it was to the Federal Election Commission with the hush money payments or to members of Congress with the Trump Tower Moscow deal. He also named Trump attorneys who were in on some of these allegedly influential conversations. And then the WikiLeaks conversations with Roger Stone, that just goes right to the heart of what the special counsel is investigating. Roger Stone has said that he never discussed WikiLeaks with President Trump. President Trump was asked about that by the special counsel. We don't know for sure what his response was. But if President Trump lied to Mueller about discussing WikiLeaks with Roger Stone, that's obviously a very big deal. So I think Cohen's testimony at the end of the day opened up Trump to a lot of legal exposure, a lot of legal problems that we didn't know about before today.
Wall Street Journal reporter Shelby Holliday. Thanks, Shelby.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.